little rusty. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and welcome you all here this day. Before I get into what I want to share with you, I have something else I want to just briefly share with you real quick. A little over 21 years ago, can't believe where did all that time go, but a little over 21 years ago, I appeared before the staff parish relations committee of this church. And I asked that committee to affirm my call to ministry, and I also asked them to support me financially because there was no way I could do it financially. I attended Drew University for licensing, went on to attend Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. for my seminary work. It took me 8 years. It took me a long time. I'm a slow learner. But it took 8 years for me to do that. And during that period of time, serving churches as well. But I owe a debt of gratitude to Sister Lottie Snavely, the Snavely Scholarship Fund, because it was because of the Snavely Scholarship Fund, I was able to go to school. And 21 years later, I stand before you this morning. So I thank, and I don't know if they're here, but I don't remember all of the folks that were on the committee at that time. Carolyn Meyer was one of them. Tony Diamond was another one. Those are the two that come to my mind right now. So I want to thank the committee. I want to thank Sister Lottie Snavely, who paid it forward, for her wisdom and for her being able to do that. And I want to thank this church because I've enjoyed 21 years of ministry, now retired and a little rusty. So I felt when I came into the church this morning, I felt like I was back in the groove again, Sunday morning, doing what I was supposed to be doing. And that is sharing God's word with you. Let us pray together. Gracious Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you in your sight this morning. For Lord Jesus, as I shared before, you are the audience of one here this morning. We are the worshipers of you this day, to glorify you, to honor you, to lift you up on high, to place you in the center of our hearts, in the throne of our hearts, Father. Hear these words, church, this morning. Amen. You know it's going to be a bad day when you call the suicide prevention center and they put you on hold. It's also going to be aware to you that it's going to be a bad day when you're stuck in traffic and the horn on your car starts blasting away and you can't shut it off. And in front of you is a motorcycle gang and it says on the back, Hell's Angels. When you get to work, you suddenly realized that's a 60-minute television crew is in your office. It's going to be a bad day. You hit a hole in one on the golf course, and God forbid, I hope it's not on a Sunday morning, but you're on the golf course, you hit a hole in one. For all you golfers, okay? You hit a hole in one, and guess what? You're playing by yourself. Who's going to believe you, right? There's a cowboy who was being chased by a bull, and he finds this hole, and he jumps in and out of the hole several times, and there's a there's a passerby that says, why not just stay in the hole? And the cowboy says, because there's a bear in there. His airplane engine catches on fire. And the pilot comes over the intercom and he tells the people in the plane, he said, don't worry, we can fly on three engines, no problem. A little while later, the second engine catches fire, and he said, it's okay, we can fly on two engines, no problem. A little while later, the third engine catches on fire. And the pilot is seen walking down the aisle, and he has a parachute on. And he says to the passengers, don't panic. He says, I'm going for help. You see, the Apostle Paul knew what it was like to have a bad day. I think for most of you, if not all of you, you also know what it's like to have a bad day. He has several bad days. He had beatings that he experienced. He was shipwrecked on an occasion and imprisoned. But you see, but he knew, the Apostle Paul knew that his pilot would not bail on him. He knew that. And that is why he could say, as Mary shared with you this morning from our text, beginning at verse 8, we are troubled on every side. We're troubled on every side. Yet not distressed, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Many of us, maybe all of us, I don't know, but many of us, you see, live under the circumstances. But it's time, my brothers and my sisters in Christ, it is time for us to move from under the circumstances and go over the top. It is time. Paul's life, you see, was not a testimony for circumstances, but it was a testimony of the truth. You see that you and I are victors. We are no longer victims. Amen? To move from managing of life's problems to winning them, you see, we need to realize that opposition is part of life. Part of life. See, when you become a Christian, you are not taken to some fantastic, mystical utopia right away and where the wind, you see, is always, always at your back and is smooth sailing. There's no bumps in the road, no hurdles to overcome. Life is good. I have a t-shirt that says life is good. And in the middle is a picture of a guy on a lawnmower. Life is good. The first words of M. Scott Peck's book, The Road Less Traveled, are, life is hard. Life is hard. There is one thing, you know, that you and I can learn this morning about our God, and that is through the storms of life and through the valley of death, He is with us. He told us in His Word, I'll be with you always. I will never, ever forsake you, nor will I ever leave you. Do you claim that promise each and every day? When you are experiencing those storms of life and they're hitting you on all sides and you wonder, what am I going to do? Remember, God is with us. And He has promised to never forsake us or to leave us. He is always, always with us. Joshua Wedgwood had to leave school at the age of 9. And at age 13, he had a severe case of smallpox that left him crippled. But nothing would defeat him. And today, he is known worldwide for his poetry and the beauty of his poetry. Beethoven, faced with the thought of being deaf, knew that he could never be happy without composing music. Although he could not hear the sound, was still able to compose Ode to Joy and many, many others as well. Circumstances, my friends, would not defeat him as well. Grandma Moses, Anna Marie Robertson, loved to do needlework. At age 80, she could no longer handle a needle to embroider. She decided then that she was going to take up painting. Starting at 80 years of age, she began to paint. And she painted roughly 1,500 paintings. 25% of that 1,500 paintings she did after she turned 100 years old. Life is hard. Life is hard, and only those, you see, that confront that fact and plunge into it with determination and the power of the Holy Spirit will move from managing to winning. We must acknowledge and realize, you see, that opposition often presents opportunity. There was a salesman who was stuck in an elevator, and he was there for some time, for probably an hour and a half. He was stuck in the elevator. He got on the phone and he called for the service people to come and get him out of the elevator to set him free. An hour and a half later, he's freed. He can get out of the elevator. One of the firemen asked him, "So what did you do in that time that you were stuck in the elevator?" He says, "I picked up the phone in the elevator." And he said, "I called my customers in this building. And I filled all of my orders." The greatest Bible salesman ever stutters through a presentation. And he asks, "Do you want to buy one? Or do you want me to read it to you?" You can see why he was successful. In Philippians chapter 4, we read, beginning at verse 21, "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." What Paul was saying here is that people are being saved. People are coming to Christ. He says, each and every day I get new guards. And by the end of the day, they're coming to Christ. Even people that Paul says are part of the family of Caesar are being saved. Trust that in every situation, God can and will get the glory. Remember what Joseph said when he was in prison. He said, "For what Satan has meant for evil, what God has meant for good." Queen Esther, knowing that it was for such a time as this, God put her where she needed to be so that he could accomplish his purpose. What about you? What about you? Has God put you where you need to be for the glory of his purpose? We need, my brothers and my sisters, we need not just to manage, you see, but we need to overcome. Overcome. By God's grace and power, see, opposition can be turned into opportunity. And we need to start looking for the opportunity. The opportunity that may be coming into our lives. Sometimes we recognize it, sometimes we don't. But we need to be open to all of those possibilities that God may have for us. We can therefore then go from managing life circumstances to winning over them with God's help. If I could have the next slide, please. Now, I don't know where you all are at this morning. And I don't know where or what all of you may or may not be dealing with in your lives today. But God knows. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you'll get through this. Whatever it is that you're dealing with this morning, you will get through this. And yes, it may not be painless. It may not. And it probably won't even be quick. It may take some time. But you see, God will use the mess that you're dealing with. God will take that mess that you're dealing with, and he will take the mess and turn it into something good. In the meantime, I caution you, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish and don't be naive. But I tell you also this morning, don't despair either and don't give up. Because you see, with God's help, you will get through this. My experience in 21 years of ministry has been so many times where folks have gotten themselves into a mess, and I mean a mess. And they do everything that they can possibly do themselves, and sometimes ask them, did you pray about it? No. Well, don't you think maybe you ought to start with prayer first and turn it over to God and let God take care of the mess and see what God will do with the mess that you're experiencing. Let him take charge of the mess. And maybe, just maybe, what Satan had intended for you, that which was evil or messy, God will take the opportunity, give you the opportunity to turn it into something positive. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we can look at your word, that we can be challenged by your word, that we can take the messiness of our lives, we can surrender it to you completely, and that you will take charge of it, and that you will bring good out of the mess. Help us, Lord God, to look for the opportunity in the midst of opposition that we may be facing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.